Wake up, y'all. We got Sixers basketball today. Good morning on this day, Monday, October 14th. This is your Clap Your Hands Morning Sixers Update, giving you all the Sixers news you need to know, as well as what to keep your eye on. It's your man, James Jackson. Thank you once again, as always, for joining me on these daily pods as we just keep rolling through the Sixers preseason. They've been busy and it's been exciting because we got actual Sixers basketball to kind of cover and break down. And pretty soon we will have actual Sixers basketball that counts to cover and break down, as we're just, 9 days away from the start of the regular season when the Sixers open up against the Milwaukee Bucks. So as always, make sure you're following me on Twitter at JimmyJ23. Make sure you're following the pod on Twitter at ClapYourHandsPod. Following both of us, because as the season gets rolling, I'm going to be a good follow. The podcast is going to be a good follow as we're tweeting updates and news, as we're live tweeting through games, and of course, giving our takes, as you could only find here, you know, on the Clap Your Hands Pod, me, Elliot Short Parks, and Jack Fritz. So it's Monday, so you know how we do with Monday. We're going to do the normal rundown and agenda, but when I do the schedule, I'll set the week for Sixers basketball. I'll go through any injuries, anything we got to update on that, some news, and then on the other side of the break, I get in to some real analysis. And since it's a game day, we're doing three things to watch for the Sixers' fourth preseason game against the Atlanta Hawks. So let's go through the schedule. Sixers have been kind of busy in this past week or in the past couple of days as the preseason kind of gets into high gear. So they dropped their last two preseason games Friday against the Minnesota Timberwolves. They dropped that 121-111, and then Saturday spun right back around, went and played the Boston Celtics and lost 139-89. It was really the Boston Celtics versus the Delaware Bluecoats. That's really what happened. All of the Sixers kind of vets and main starters, main rotational players took a sack. From Tyrese Maxey all the way down to Reggie Jackson and Eric Gordon. And that means Jared McCain, Jeff Doughton, and, you know, Lester Quinones and company led the Sixers up against the defending champion Celtics. And it went exactly how you thought it would go. We'll bring a little bit more down to that game later as I get into some of my things to watch for. We'll reference some things that happened in that game. But that was last weekend, and then we go to this week of the schedule. So tonight they take on the Atlanta Hawks in the A at 7:30. Wednesday they come back home finally, like fourth, fifth preseason game, and are finally coming back home. They come back home against the Brooklyn Nets on Wednesday at 7 p.m. at the Wells Fargo Center. And then Friday, they go back down to Orlando to play the Magic at 7 p.m. on the road. So that's your week for Sixers basketball, but it starts tonight against the Atlanta Hawks in Atlanta at 7:30. Make sure you guys are tuned in for that game. I'm going to presume this is going to come out in the morning. I'm going to presume we're going to get a lot of the main players, as it won't be a back-to-back. They've had, you know, some time to rest and some time to recuperate. So we move on to injury news. And again, I don't know if this is injury news. It's technically not an injury. It's a monitoring of a lingering injury. But it doesn't get better. The news just does not get better. I don't know if it gets worse, but it is what it is. Here is the news. Embiid is not going to play in the Sixers' remaining preseason games, as the team announced. So the team announced on Sunday that the MVP center will miss the remaining three preseason games. They'll all be this week, as I just laid out, as he continues to monitor that knee situation that has been the talk of the town ever since media day. So the Sixers issued this medical statement yesterday. As a part of his left knee management, Joel Embiid was assessed by doctors on Thursday. Embiid is progressing well and will continue to take part in an individual treatment plan designed to best support his health and wellness for the 2024-25 season. He will not play in this week's preseason games. Further updates will be provided as appropriate. I think an update is appropriate every hour on the hour, if you ask me. But I will digress in that. So there's a lot to go down with this, right? There's good and, I guess, and I don't even say good, but there's expected and not expected, I guess, to go on or to dissect in this medical statement. So let's just break it down. So like I said, he's not going to play in the upcoming games this week. So that's tonight against the Atlanta Hawks, Wednesday against the Nets, Friday against the Magic. And the situation just gets more and more unsettling, to be honest. For what first started as a very, to me, believable planned assessment and plan going into the preseason and the start of the season, now kind of seems like they're reacting to something, doesn't it? Like, this does not seem like this is a continuation of a plan already set in stone. Rather, this is now new plan or new methods of a plan set as they're hearing news and as they're getting kind of results of these knee assessments and these doctor visits from Embiid. If this recovery is still going to plan like they say they are, right? Like, that's the quote-unquote good to come out of this, is that they're saying he's progressing well and according to plan and will continue to go with this individual treatment plan. So if this recovery is going according to plan, as they say, right, why are they just now deciding to hold him out for the preseason? Why is this just now coming out that he's not going to play the rest of this preseason games, rest of these preseason games? Right, like that's what I don't understand. If this was truly a part of the plan, if this is truly already something that they're already planning on doing, why was this announced at the start of the preseason? Why wasn't this announced, you know, before the Breakers game, before the Wolves game, or right after that initial knee assessment last Thursday before the Wolves game, right? Like this, the more they say this is a planned assessment, the more they say that this is planned, that this is planned and everything like that, the more it makes it seem that the team is just saying that so the fan base doesn't panic, right? Saying that so that it eases our minds almost, that we don't go overboard and we don't think that there's something wrong when it just seems like there's something wrong, or at least that it's not right. At least that it's not going to how they thought they were going to see it for the start of the season. Right, like that's the more these kind of things come out, the more that every day a new iteration of this plan is told to us. And it's not that he's scrimmaging, it's not that he's playing, it's the opposite of these things. It just, the optimism is slowly going away from me. It really is. The optimism is slowly wiltering away as this seems like this is a reaction. Not a proactive plan, not something set in stone, but rather we got results that weren't the greatest. We're going to hold him out for the rest of the preseason. And so he's ready to go for the start of the season. So at this point, we just have to hope that Embiid does everything he can to not only be right for the start of the season, but to be able to play throughout and finish the season strong. Like, the hope isn't just that he's ready for the start or the first 10 to 20 games. That's not what we're hoping for. We're hoping for that he's good then. He's good in January, he's good in March, and he's good in April. So whatever they got to do to ensure that, just make sure that gets done. If he doesn't play in the preseason, whatever. Just make sure that gets done. Okay, but let's be honest. Let's be honest here. Does this not sound like it's setting up for us to worry for the next 2 weeks? And then Embiid all of a sudden announced that he's playing on opening night, come out, look mostly healthy, and play well against the Bucks. Right, drop like a 28-11 against the Bucks. That's and then just to throw us off, just so we don't know what to think going into the start of the season for the first month or so. Just exactly what it sounds like. Buckle up, y'all. This Embiid situation, it does not seem resolved. It does not seem like it's going according to plan. We, as well as the Sixers, apparently, will continue to monitor. Okay, other news. This is good news. The Sixers' famous super fan, Alan Horowitz, the sixth man, was enshrined in the Basketball Hall of Fame yesterday, which I think is really awesome. So Alan Horowitz, the Sixers' famous super fan, was put into basketball immortality as he was added into the Naismith Hall of Fame's super fan gallery yesterday. So Horowitz, who has been attending Sixers games since he was a teenager in the 1960s, has seen Wilt to Dr. J to Charles Barkley to Allen Iverson to now Embiid, is going down And one of the coolest things I think a Sports Hall of Fame has done in honoring the super fans of the NBA. So listen to who Horowitz was recognized alongside of. Jack Nicholson represented the Lakers, Spike Lee, who represented the Knicks, and Billy Crystal, who represented the LA Clippers. So three A-list celebrities, and then our guy, Allen Horowitz, going into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame, right? This isn't just the Sixers Ring of Honor, even though that's prestigious in its own right. This is the National Basketball Hall of Fame in Springfield, Massachusetts. Him going up there forever with the greatest to ever play and to ever sit alongside the game of basketball. So if you've went to a Sixers game, if you've been to Sixers events, I mean, you've seen Allen present at every single game. He was there for the New Zealand Breakers game, sitting sideline or courtside, I should say. They caught him on TV. I mean, he's a great guy who embodies the city. He embodies the franchise. He shows the passion that that great Sixers fans show. He's just went in tune with the city, and he's been there through the highs, through the lows, and everything in between. And now he gets to get celebrated with the greatest of the great to do it. So congrats to the sixth man, Allen Horowitz. I mean, they already gave him his own center up there. Up in Northeast for, I guess that's, you know, kind of North Philly there. So it's just more and more recognition for a great guy in Allen Horowitz. So congratulations to the sixth man going into the Basketball Hall of Fame. Okay, I'm getting ready, get ready to take a break. On the other side of this break, I'm going to get into some analysis. Three things to watch for as the Sixers take on the Atlanta Hawks tonight in Atlanta. Stay tuned, y'all. Hey, welcome back, y'all, to this game day and this clap your hands morning Sixers update. Your boy James Jackson. Make sure you're following me on Twitter at JimmyJ23. Make sure you're following the pod on Twitter too at Clap Your Hands Pod. We're going to be rocking and rolling all season long. And like I said, just 9 days away until that season opener against the Milwaukee Bucks. Until then, we have preseason games to break down, including one tonight. And that brings me to my three things to watch for as the Sixers go down to the ATL tonight to take on the Atlanta Hawks. So the first thing I'm looking for, and I know that we were all super excited to see PG's debut, those of us who were lucky to watch it because NBA League Pass was having a tough time even broadcasting that game. So from what I heard, PG had a very good debut against the Minnesota Timberwolves on Friday night. For those of you lucky to see it, I heard it was a great showing. But Paul George came out in his first game as a Sixer. It was very impressive. 23 points in 26 minutes on an efficient 8 from 15 from the field, including 4 of 9 from 3. So I'm looking for consistency when it comes to Paul George, right? Like, I love that he popped out on the scene and he came out and he showed that in his first game with the Sixers, especially with no Embiid, when he established himself on the offensive end. But I need to see him do that multiple times and string those type of games together, right? It's the preseason. So now is the time to go out and make sure you're hunting those shots. Make sure you're getting yourself in that rhythm so that you can, you know, just have that method and have that timing as the season comes along, right? So we can tell, and there's no surprise that Paul George was an upgrade over Tobias Harris. Took us about 5 minutes of basketball to see that this was going to be an upgrade over Tobias Harris. But to me, the real upgrade over Toby comes with that consistency. Not just putting up those numbers, but putting up those numbers again. And then putting up those numbers again. And us being able to rely on you on a nightly basis to give out that kind of output and that kind of production, right? Because it's not like Tobias couldn't give us those numbers on any given night. It's not like he was incapable of that kind of output, right? Actually, go and look at the Pistons' first preseason game and Tobias Harris' scoring output. Like, a very similar scoring output from Toby than it was from Paul George. What drove us mad was that Toby the next game would go absent. Actually, probably for the next string of games, go absent when we needed him. So Paul George can't do that. Not like we need him in this game. Not like this game is, you know, any kind of consequence to it. But I don't want to see him after coming out and being the alpha on the offensive end now come out in his second game and, you know, kind of welter away. right, and not be a factor on the offensive end, because that'll give us PTSD, right? Post Tobias stress disorder. Like, that's, we can't have that, right? So if PG comes out and he's a no-show in his second game, that's not encouraging. I need consistency from Paul George. I know I'm not asking too much. He was great in his first game, and I just need to see him continue to be within the offense like that. Doesn't always have to be numerical. I always have to put a quantity to it, right? But there's got to be a quality to it. He's got to stay that much engaged in the offense, be that much of a factor. All right, the second thing I'm looking for is a matchup, right? Andre Drummond versus Clint Capella. And I know you're all thinking, James, why are you not talking about the Tyrese Maxey versus Trae Young matchup? To me, Tyrese just gets the better of that matchup. And, you know, that's what we're looking for in Tyrese isn't a one-on-one matchup with Trae Young, isn't him winning a one-on-one matchup with Trae Young. Will he? Well, I think he, yes. But that's not what I'm looking for. That's not a matchup that I want him to go out and win. That's not where Tyrese's role is for this team right now. With Andre and Clint, it may be. So I know this is not exactly the elite big man matchup, you know, that's kind of built around the NBA. But it is a matchup of two of the league's best rebounders. And I'm going to harp on how this was the biggest weakness for the Sixers in the latter part of last year in the playoffs was rebounding, especially with no Embiid on the floor. There's been so much excitement about what Andre Drummond can and most likely will bring as a backup center, including from this guy right here. I've been probably one of the biggest talkers about what Andre Drummond can do. You've probably never heard someone harp on a backup center as much as I have, and that's because I believe it's so important, right? We saw him have a very impressive game controlling the boards against Minnesota, 15 boards, including 7 offensive rebounds. That's great. You love to see that. But at the same time, his rebounding competition in that game was not that great. It's going to be much tougher in this game than it was last, and obviously against the New Zealand Breakers. He did not play against the Boston Celtics, which, you know, would have been the first sign of real rebounding competition. His rebounding competition, mainly against the Timberwolves, Naz Reid, who's not billed as a rebounder, great in his own right, Sixth Man of the Year, but not billed as a rebounder. Dante DiVincenzo actually led the team in rebounding that game with 7 total boards. So, you know what I mean? Like, not anyone who really challenged Andre Drummond on the offensive glass or on the glass in general. Clint Capella will. Got 9 boards in their last game, averaged 10.9 boards a game last season. So we know that one of the things that Clint Capella hangs his hat on is rebounding. I need to see Andre Drummond still be that much of a factor on the boards. I actually need to see him win the rebounding matchup. That's a direct rebounding matchup that while they're on the floor, I need Andre Drummond to be a plus in that category over Clint Capella. Because that's going to show me that when Andre Drummond goes in the game, no matter who he goes against, he gives us that rebounding support that we're looking for. I don't want it just to be against bad rebounders. I know that. I want to be able to see Andre Drummond go in the game as he showed in years and years past and still win that rebounding matchup. So, Dre, do what you do against Clint Capella, man. Not anyone that really should push you out the paint. I expect you, you know, to still have those double-digit rebounds as we've seen in many games past. The last thing I'm looking for is how good has Jared McCain been, y'all, right? Like, how good has the rookie been? How impressive? I'm not just saying it. Seems everybody from the Sixers camp is saying it. We even get national social media accounts tweeting it, right? Like ESPN and Bleacher Report and SportsCenter and stuff like that, tweeting about how Jared McCain has been so impressive through training camp and the preseason. I want to see a continued confidence and growth of Jared McCain. We're just seeing more and more of him, and I like what I'm seeing. He got his first start when the Delaware Bluecoats essentially went up against the Boston Celtics starters, against the defending champion starters, and still, that didn't seem to faze McCain at all. 20 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals. Is he going to have his rookie moments? Of course. He played the Boston Celtics. They just won a championship. But it's not just the 20 points that are great. And it's still, that's great. He got a dub against, you know, some pretty great defenders. But it's the fact that he's he's filling the stat sheet in every way, right? Three rebounds, three assists, three steals. Going across the board, filling the stat sheet as a rookie, that's incredible maturity for a basketball player. He didn't just look at that opportunity and say, no starters, no vets, no role. I'm just going to go and score. I'm going to go get my shot. Right? He did that. You know, 9 for 21 from the field. We can shoot a little more efficiently. But he still went and got his points, but knew that if I'm really going to crack this rotation, I got to show that I can impact the game in other ways. And he did that, right? So we'll see when he checks into the game against the Hawks and what capacity. But when he does, I just want to continue to see the things that I've seen or that we've seen and heard of in training camp and through the start of preseason. Jerry McCain just playing with confidence, shooting the ball with confidence, but also when he has the ability, has the opportunity, impact the game in those other ways. He's been very good at that. Those three things, consistency from PG, Andre winning that rebounding matchup, and Jerry McCain continuing to grow up before our eyes. That's what I want to see. It's what I'm looking for against the Atlanta Hawks tonight as the Sixers go for their fourth preseason game against the Atlanta Hawks tonight. So that's all the time we have for this Clap Your Hands morning update. Thank you again for joining me. And again, I will see you guys in 24 hours.